It's 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, time for Tom and Shane Business and Politics, and here we are at last, together again, as they say. Well, we got an interesting show for you today, because we're going to talk about why in the hell don't we have any diesel fuel? What's going on with the diesel fuel shortage? And we want to talk about that this morning, because it's kind of a big deal, Shane. You know, how are we going to get goods and services to market? Trains, 18-wheelers, come on.
Yeah, it's a real, you know, scary reality. Three of the most important things for survival: home heating, 6% of the diesel is used. 63%, of course, for 18-wheelers or delivery of transport or large trucks. Mm-hmm. And the rest is trains. I mean, the rail sector, you know, people may not realize, most people do, but not all, that trains run on diesel now and have for, you know, over 150 years or 120 years, whatever.
Yeah, and they have. Yeah.
It's an interesting aspect of petroleum, because it's in trucks, it's cleaner, but in trains, it's dirty. It's sort of a, you know, it's an oxymoron, right?
Yeah. Well, one thing I do know, Shane, I don't know that most gas stations aren't near train stations, a pipeline running underneath the station. So the only way to get diesel to the gas station for trucks is by a truck.
That's right, a tanker truck.
Yeah.
And the only way to get most diesel, like 85% of the diesel coming from the Caribbean coast of Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, most if not all of that is hauled by truck or by train. Now, there's very few diesel pipelines because environmentalists have prevented them from being built.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. One of the reasons, underinvestment in refining capacity and refinery closures due to the COVID back 2021 and so on, and operation disruption have all contributed to the scarcity of refined oil products this year, and especially diesel. And U.S. diesel stocks have been on a stable decline for months, reaching the lowest level since 2008 as of October, which we just finished up, Shane.
Yes. And as you point out, one of the issues, of course, is this transition of either maintenance of the existing oil refineries or the transition to different types of gasoline.
Yeah, they're going to winter blends now.
Yeah, it also includes diesel. You know, it has a lighter winter blend, so it doesn't generate as much smoke or carbon smoke as most people would argue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but the fact is that it's an essential aspect of our survival in the 21st century. You can't have the 21st century in a first world country without oil.
Yeah. Well, currently, according to some experts, we have about 25 days of diesel supply in reserve. That's not much, Shane. That's pretty small. And the Continental Pipeline that you mentioned earlier has been fully booked to carry diesel fuel and other distillates to the East Coast, with the first deliveries expected early this month. So there may be some delay in getting that diesel there where they need it in the East Coast.
Right.
And you're talking about, of course, the pipeline or the heating oil goes along with the diesel, of course. And this is not only in the United States. This is going to be a disaster in Europe as well.
Well, this is going to be an exceptional winter problem, and it'll be a monetary one because of the cost of gas. The Europeans, 8 years ago, made this big decision to go with natural gas, which is efficient. That's good for heating, and they've transitioned a lot of the continent to it, moved away from steam and nuclear power and coal, which is fine. But the problem is, where do you get it? So now you find that they're having to buy it not on the open market, but primarily from Russia. You know, the Americans are doing everything they can to try and create the tanking facilities, tankers that would move it, you know, the gas to Europe. But so people are going to be spending 30 to 40% of their entire income to heat their homes.
Their heating bill may be more than their mortgage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wendy says, "Good morning, guys. So thanks for being here. We appreciate you, Wendy. Thanks for joining our little group this morning. So we really appreciate that. Another thing, Shane." As the shortage of diesel fuel spreads across the U.S., and one company is requesting a 72-hour advance notice from their clients to be able to make delivery. I mean, 72 hours, man, that's a lifetime when you're talking about energy.
That's 3 days. That's right. And you look at the arc of the power of oil. You know, the largest oil company in the world is the China Petroleum Chemical Corp. People wouldn't think that, but it is. $400 billion in revenue, and you know, and then you start down the list of European or American and European, Exxon and Chevron and Mobil and BP and so forth. But all of these have the same thing in common, and that is that as developing economies or first world economies, it's all predicate or the based on oil. So when you talk about home heating oil, it's seasonal and it becomes expensive. And you talk about gasoline or diesel, it becomes seasonal and expensive. And so when you have all of these issues in hand, particularly dealing with trade or transport or delivery of product on such a global scale, and the politics don't fit. You like it? The policy and politics don't fit with the need or the requirement. It creates a huge amount of confusion in the markets, huge amount of confusion with companies, their planning, their future planning, and people's lives. Because what are the three things that you need every day? You need oil to run your car or heat your home, and you need water, fresh, and you need food. Those are the three essentials for survival. And without oil in our society, you wouldn't have those.
Yeah, that's for sure. Tanker tracking data, shows that at least two tankers with some 90,000 tons of diesel and jet fuel that were initially bound for Europe were diverted toward the U.S. East Coast. Now, I bet the clients that ordered those two tankers are pissed. Shane, those aren't gonna show up anywhere other than the East Coast. So that's interesting. They can turn them around and send them back here, as opposed to where they were supposed to go.
Yeah, this is a cat and mouse game. The tankers at sea. There seems to be this continuing fair exchange, let's say, of oil or diesel or jet fuel or any other oil commodity in a tanker at sea. I mean, it could be heading for a port in India and halfway there get diverted because a better price for it comes from China. And Enron, you know, we got into this with them with electricity, right?
Yeah.
And we saw what happened there. But this is more dangerous because a serious interruption of the flow of this commodity, because it's a global one, could cause untold problems. The issues that fall in line with it could be quite horrific.
Yeah. Well, the Ukraine thing for Europe is certainly screwing things up for those folks. That's part of the issue that's going on over there, of course. And the fact that we've stopped virtually all exploration here, shut down the XL pipeline and other things. The XL might have been done by now. Who knows?
It just needed. It's done. It's in the ground. It's all the big problem they had was crossing the. I'm trying to think of the river. The river is it between Nebraska and North Dakota or South Dakota?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the one that the final one mm-hmm. that environmentalists were using to hold it up, you know, that, oh, mm-hmm. it would destroy the river. And do you build it over the top mm-hmm. of the river or under the river? And, you know, the people in charge, the engineers, the companies building it said, just tell us what you want. If you want us to put it under the river, we'll do it. Like,
what do you want? It crosses a major aquifer also in that area. That was one of the bones of contention there.
But it's not deep enough to affect.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. That's the problem.
A joke. I mean, it's literally a joke. They make this big, mm-hmm. you know, it's going mm-hmm. to contaminate the aquifer if there's a break in the line. Mm-hmm. These are only down 8 to 10 feet. And that's because of the winter freeze. Okay. Yeah. That, you know, so depending on where you're at and the climate that you're dealing with, if you're in a milder area that doesn't have a hard, freeze to maybe 2-3 feet, mm-hmm. then, you know, you can go down 5-6 feet.
Yeah.
But if you have a hard freeze, like in parts of Canada, like Alberta or mm-hmm. Alaska or what, you know, you got to go down 8-9 feet. Even though, what science developed was the above ground pipeline that they heated. So mm-hmm. it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
So,
the caribou love it. They come over there and stand around it and stay warm and whatever. And well, the other thing too, Shane, that pipeline leaks aren't what they used to be. These things have computers all up and down the line. They can shut it off in a second.
100%.
You don't hear of pipeline spills very often being a serious issue, but
and now they have this amazing technology where they have robots literally caught in the James mm-hmm. Bond movie 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, where the robot runs inside the pipeline, does the welding. Mm-hmm. You know, when that those two gas lines of Russia's exploded, mm-hmm. and we talked about it, they're only in like 200 or 300 feet of water, and they sent down some mm-hmm. Equipment to videotape it, and it blew out.
That's true.
And so it was mm-hmm. a gas leak, and they were repairing it, mm-hmm. and there was a seam of gas that came along the line, and they were welding it from inside, and boom,
it blew up.
As I said, we called it. We said that's what it was, and we said the reason the Russians don't want to admit to it is because of the environmental damage that it's causing.
Amen. All right. I thought we were talking about 25 days of diesel. Well, Bruce, you got to get here at 10 o'clock. you got to get here when we start. We've gone through a little bit on the diesel, and that's what we're talking about. We kind of got sidelined on pipelines because one of the pipelines is completely booked to transport diesel. And that's where we are. So hang on. Train spills happen every day and you don't hear about that either. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, there's no reserve. Your government made no allowance for reserve of diesel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's because unlike oil, gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel have a shelf life. Mm-hmm. And people need to know this. One of the reasons that you see prices at your gas station, you know, every 10 days or 9 days, or when, you know, they're running out of gas, the price will drop is because they don't want to mix fresh gas with old, number one, but the gas they have mixed will stay at the bottom. And it's a shelf life. It starts to break down. Gas is not a safe component, as we know.
Yeah, you can't store it like you can oil. Right. Oil you can store for
diesel or gasoline. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. Not like oil.
Yeah. Yeah. Diesel or because it's a volatile explosive, igniter, I should say. And having 25 days, when you talk about the number of diesel trucks that are running around, the number of diesel trains that are running around, and not only that, farm equipment are also diesel. Farmers have diesel trucks, so they get diesel tractors, buses. Yeah. So, this is a major, major deal, particularly with the inflation that we have now. A shortage of diesel is a serious deal.
It is, but one of the fascinating things about it too is that if you look at the price of diesel over the last 30 years, it hasn't much changed. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Back in the 80s, when car manufacturers started making diesel engines, it was because there would became this vast difference between diesel and gasoline. I mean, diesel was still at 10, 20, 25 cents. It was cheap.
True, yeah.
And gasoline was starting to get over a buck. Mm-hmm. And so these guys said, well, God, we got these diesel engines for trucks, you know, let's build one. Let's put them in cars. And,
yeah.
And you know, if you've ever been around a diesel car or truck, I mean, there's a definite scent to the air. It smells. Mm-hmm.
It's different. Yeah, it's different.
It's a different type of fuel. Anyway, having said that, the point is that so over the last 40 years, there's not been a gigantic shift in the price of diesel. It's always been 10 or 15% of either side of $5, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, Bruce points out when a hurricane comes, the prices go up because they have shut down the refineries. And we did have that somewhat, you know, obviously when Katrina hit Louisiana and the coast there. Yeah, we had some raises in gas prices there. And but yeah, you're right, Shane, that you know, you raise the price to slow down consumption, you lower the price to bring consumption back up. But
that's right. But in this case, the need is so important for the success of the economy and people. It's not one of these problems, you know. All of a sudden, it doesn't become a policy, a political issue. Diesel, you know, there's no draw towards it in the media or a conversation about it, because you know it's too dangerous, because it's too important, and you know, global warming and all this other environmental doodah. They don't want to talk about diesel because they know the importance of it, and they have no logical argument, right?
Like,
let's have a discussion, okay, of how to starve.
Right. Well, the Northeast has been fueled by heating oil for years. You know, they've slowly made the transition to natural gas, but you know, old habits die hard, and you know, those people. In the East Coast, Northeast, may have a tough winter. Their prices are going to be off the charts. Yeah,
heating oil is like the slag of the petroleum process, because it's basically what's left over after lubricants.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, the first thing they make is jet fuel, then they make gasoline, then they make diesel. Then they make lubricants, you know, and then they have this sludge left over they call heating oil. And you know, the great thing about it is it's simple. Because it's easy to pump because it's a sludge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've got a hose, you got to go up or down, you know, a hill to get to someone's tank for their house.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too difficult, and you can unwind the hose off the back of your truck and either gravity or a small pump will push it easily for you because it's sludge.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, it's one of the five most important byproducts of the refining process. And people just they just refuse to discuss it. And you and I say we got to get this down to lubricants and petrochemicals. I mean, that's what we need oil for. It can't be jet fuel, car, diesel, or home heating. It just can't.
Well, and as we've talked about, gas and food are immune from inflation because they're a world commodity. They're not just a U.S. commodity. So the price around the world varies on food and fuel. So it's not included in the normal inflation, which, you know, they say is 8%. We think it's more like 14 or 15.
Oh, it is.
When you include all the other amenities that aren't included in it. So diesel, not being able to get stuff to stores, not being able to get it to, you know, the market, not being able to train travel. Look at the people on the East Coast that travel by train, you know, all over Washington and Virginia. New York and back
to New England, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trains are a big deal there. So it's
Well, they are because they've been building them for 200 years.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's the way
people commute in those areas, you know. Subways are electric, but, you know, still.
Right. The South never built a train network. And that was one of the biggest reasons they lost the Civil War, because they had no transport. Yeah. Logistics are everything in that. But logistics in this age of consumerism is important, too. It's like fighting a war. Yeah. And getting from A to Z with B, Y, and N in between somewhere is a constant issue that people in the supply link are dealing with. That's why, you know, you walk into stores and you see all these empty shelves. It's not that those products aren't out there. It's just they're not getting delivered.
Yeah, well, that's the issue. Well, as we mentioned at the first of the show, since we've had people maybe joining us late, underinvestment in refining capacity, refinery closures, and operation disruptions have all contributed to the scarcity of refined oil products this year, but especially in diesel. And stocks have been in a stable decline for months, reaching the lowest level since 2008. In October. And of course, we had the 2007-2008 big recession, great recession at the time, Shane, that you remember, of course. So that's been quite a deal.
Networks, you know, all the networks, you know, are you know, props and plant bangers and clapping, because October, you know, best October since 1972. Well, they're just lucky it wasn't a crash like 29.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, this isn't going to be a hard crash. It's going to be, I've said this since last February, just November when I called it. It'll be a bull slush and a bull slash. So every time you see these numbers that they talk about, oh, this is a rebound, it's turning around. No, it's a market push, people covering shorts and other people's jumping in for whatever stupid reason they are. And those people buying are getting sold short to. So it's you know, here it is. It's going to go down, cover, go down. I mean, I have to keep going down. And this is going to go on for at least another 6 months to 2 years.
Well, and the Federal Reserve is gonna act this week, I think, Shane, or in the next few days, and they're expected to raise rates again. So that's gonna put a kibosh. That's gonna put a kibosh on housing, because you know, mortgage loans are already hurting, and everything that's involved in a home has oil in it somewhere. You know, everything, maybe. It's gonna be a tough winter, I think, for a lot of folks, particularly in cold weather areas. So
that's right. Generation X and Y are gonna learn what the baby boomers and our children, that generation learned, and that is one important word: renovation.
Yeah,
you know, go to a city or a town and find a beaten down building that's 30, 40 years old, 50 years old, buy it for a dollar. And then, you know, sink, $100,000 or whatever into it, or $200,000, and do it all yourself. And it'll take you maybe a year or two, depending on how bad the renovations are or what you have to do. Yeah.
Or how expensive the stuff is.
Have a great home that's basically paid for.
Yeah. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. We always know what to do afterwards, you know.
Well, the great thing about, you know, the X and Y generation is they can work from home, so they can live anywhere.
That's true. Yeah. Well, certainly a lot of people can. There's no question about that. Yeah, that's for sure.
You can move to rural America and find an old home and renovate it. Not a place like Bozeman. That's, you know, that was done 30, 40 years ago. You missed that train.
It's pretty pricey to live here. For the benefit of anyone who doesn't know, I'm in Bozeman, Montana. Shane's in Kamloops, Canada. So we are an international show, but
and we're sister cities, and about the same size. Mm-hmm. We're 500 miles apart. I'm 500 miles north and in a mountain valley like you. Same weather, even though mm-hmm. I'm farther north. I mean, same temperature. We talk about it all year round.
Yeah, yeah.
But having said that, you know, prices here with the dollar at 28% to the U.S., you can still buy a $200,000-$400,000 home and renovate it. There's nothing left in Bozeman.
Yeah.
So secondary cities are now being mm-hmm. sucked up. We talked about this. Major cities are done. Can't buy there. Mm-mm. And so, you know, you got the third tier cities, you know, like a Livingston in Montana or, you know, a Salmon Arm in BC or Timmins or, you know, mm-hmm. if you're looking. So that's where the next generation is looking. And it's a difficult reality, but mm-hmm. that's lucky.
That's it. Well, the TV show Yellowstone is bringing in people here in droves to and Bozeman, I think last time we checked, the three-bedroom home in Bozeman is going to cost you $800 to $1 million.
Right.
So it's not a cheap place to live. So I'm
and that's not new.
No, that's not new. I'm happy my mortgage is paid. I'm out of that mess. So
yeah, you're saved. And the misery index by spring will be interest rates will be mm-hmm. Well into double digits. Inflation will be 15 mm-hmm. to 20. So it'll be just like a Reagan Carter situation where the misery index is like 25 to 30 when you add the two together. It's going to be ugly, Tom.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough winter, I think. So, well, diesel fuel, 25 days left. Can we do something about this? Is it going to are we going to start seeing more shortages on the shelves? Are we going to ration diesel fuel? All of the above.
Well, you can't. What it's needed for. You can't ration it from trains or trucks. So you're stuck. So here's the terrible reality. The price will go up. And all that means is more inflation and more cost to everybody for everything that they consume. So regrettably, that in the next 25 days, I mean, you won't run out of diesel, even though you use about 4 million barrels of diesel.
Well, I don't know, Shane. They only say we have 25 days left.
Well, they still produce
a supply. Well,
yeah, but
getting it there, is the issue. Getting it there is the issue.
I think there's 25 days left of in the system. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to build that back up to its turnaround is 30, 45. Because mm-hmm. they're like the lack of pipelines, it's not as reliable. So
with winter
coming, see the big question is how bad is the winter going to be?
Yeah, there we are. Yeah, that's the climate change question, huh?
Sure? That is it, baby.
Well, let me remind you that we, the award-winning Tom and Shane, we're live on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. You can listen live to our shows at KMMSAM.com. Just click listen now. Nothing to join, no sign up needed, no email, no personal information. All you got to do is go over there and listen to, us. we have fun doing it. And our past shows, if you want a sample of what we do on radio and any of our past YouTube and Facebook Live presentations, Tom and Shane. Past shows are also at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. No cost to go over there for anything. And, of course, we need to remind you you really should subscribe to our channel. I mean, why not, huh? Don't hit that subscribe button on the screen because that's just a graphic. Hit the subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner if you're watching this in replay or below the video on YouTube. And also, Shane and I both write on Medium.com, so you can check out our articles over there. There's a link in the description below to reach that. And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, we would appreciate that very much. We'll do wonderful, great things for you if you do. And there's a link to contribute down below as well. And if you like to make videos like this, hey, we do it with StreamYard. And you can see how easy it is. Even I can run it. It's that simple. And I'm as dumb as a box of rocks. So I can make it happen. You can too. And there's
a lot of history in that box of rocks.
There's a link to the description below for a free version of StreamYard that you can check it out and try it, see if you like it. And you too can be making big bucks on YouTube by making videos. So,
Wait one sec. I still have a comment. Props out to America, because today's the 1st of November and 7 days you're having your big election. So Thursday, it's a winner pick all. It's going to be, you know, one of our favorite shows over the years, you know, the Thursday before Election Day, which is Thursday. And a week from that is Tom's birthday, of course. But anyway, you want to join us on Thursday? We'll pick out some candidates people haven't talked about. You know, like there's a senator in New York State, you know, federal.
You're talking about next Tuesday, not next Thursday.
I'm sorry. No, the election is Tuesday.
Yeah.
Thursday's webcast is Who Wins. We're going to give you an overview of that. Like Gillibrand is running in New York. And
But the results will all be in on Thursday.
Today is Tuesday, Tom. I'm talking about Thursday, the 3rd of November.
Oh, okay. I thought we were I'm sorry. I thought we were going to do our predictions on election day and then review if we were following we're gonna do Thursday.
That too. I mean, we got to. I mean, it's
okay.
But you know, we'll have a whole weekend to see how stupid the Democrats act with Obama and Biden and you know and Harris and Hillary and Mrs. Obama and all the wonders of the Democratic Party trying to save this off. But the point is, on Thursday, we will talk about some of the candidates that we like in states that look like they have exposure, like that goofy senator in Connecticut. What's the ex-Vietnam vet?
Blumenthal.
It's Connecticut, right?
Yeah, Blumenthal.
He's having a tight one. No, but he could lose too. I mean, there's a good chance that this does turn into a tsunami. I think it'll be a tidal wave, but if it's a tsunami, there's a lot of people that could get bounced. So it is going to be interesting. Right.
Well,
that's my comment. All right. Bye.
Okay. Let me go back over. Because we got to say goodbye. All right. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we're on at any time zone you happen to be in. Like us, leave a comment. We would appreciate that very much. And we'll see you on Thursday.